Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. So here we are, Saturday night at Abhayagiri, and we just did the late night vigil last night, staying up till 3:30. So this is the well known challenge of Saturday night talk on the day after one pra, both for speaker and listener. Somebody was asking at tea time last night, well, why do we even do these? Why do we do these one pras, all night observances? And essentially, it's to, as we were talking about, to offer us a bit of a challenge to push, but push beyond what we think our normal limits are, to develop a sense of resolve and bring up resources that maybe we didn't know that we had, give a chance for some extra practice and under different circumstances than we normally would practice with. So we generally have the goal of doing it once a week on the lunar observance day. Sometimes we don't do it for various reasons, but the general pattern is to do that every week. Develop that sense of determination, energy, resolve. Can be seen as kind of the weekly challenge in our practice. And similar tomorrow, well, actually today, this is the Buddhist bike pilgrimage today and tomorrow, and a number of people have determined to put out a significant amount of energy and effort doing something that generally is pushing beyond the normal realms of at least physical and mental endurance that we usually go through. So I'm not sure how many are registered for the event this year. In general, in past years, it's been around 100 or so bicyclists who start out at Spirit Rock down in Marin County on Saturday morning and bike. I think it's somewhere around 85, 90 miles the first day, is what somebody was saying at tea time today. Starting at Spirit Rock and hitting, stopping along the way at another Buddhist center, I think in Sonoma County, and ending up at a campgrounds for the evening, and then usually some of the monastics from our community are there at the campground, helping support, giving some Dhamma reflections, leading a meditation in the evening. This year, the two nuns from Alokavihara are fulfilling that role. And tomorrow morning they'll get up after having had a bit of a rest after their long day of biking, and get up early, have morning puja outside at the campground, have something to eat, and then get back on their bicycles for the second day tomorrow. Which will take them up to the city of 10,000 Buddhas for their meal, and then up here finishing at Abhayagiri sometime in the afternoon. I think it's another 45 miles or so, someone was saying. So there's a tremendous amount of energy, effort being put out beyond what one's normal capacity would be. So these are times, opportunities for us to stretch and grow a bit beyond our normal limits. And those are important qualities to develop in our lives, in our practice. The development of this path, this spiritual path, is dependent on a number of different qualities, a number of different strengths that we have to develop and pursue. Several of those, I think, come into mind in these kinds of challenging situations, all-night sits or bike pilgrimages, different kinds of things that call on our physical energy. We need to develop one of the perfections that's known as virya, energy. Another one, adhitana, determination or resolution, resolve. And also, I think those are both very invigorating, energizing qualities that we have to bring into practice. And then another one that kind of applies, I think, in these situations is kanti, or patience, patient endurance, which is, I think, of the first two as being ones that are more focused and pointed, quite specific, developing energy, developing determination, resolve. And then the kanti, or patience, is one that helps provide a bit of spaciousness or a greater capacity to hold those difficult things, those things that are hard to endure. If we can kind of expand and open up our abilities, widen our container, that's the function of patience, kanti. We can hold more than we think we can at times. So these three qualities, I think, are really important in our practice as well, spiritual practice. They're useful not only for these kind of physically challenging situations, but also when we're confronted with really difficult mental challenges, maybe even that's more to the point when we're talking about our spiritual practice. There are so many times in our lives when we are called upon to really go beyond that which we are accustomed to. A lot of our lives were, just kind of plugging along the daily routine, getting up, doing what we need to do. And there's a certain sort of unconsciousness that creeps into our lives as we go through our days, even here in the monastery. But then there are times when periods of our life or certain episodes in our life are incredibly challenging and call upon us to bring up resources that we don't usually need to bring up. We were walking alms round yesterday and talking with one of the people on our alms round, young man with a young son, and he was really experiencing some incredibly challenging moments, and was talking with us about them. Sort of kind of interrupted a challenging process that was happening as we were on alms round. The son, the child, has been going through some really difficult periods, emotional periods, where there's been a lot of challenging behaviors, a lot of acting out, as probably most of us did when we were growing up as well. Really testing this fellow's limits, and things like refusing to go to sleep at night, refusing to go to bed, insisting on having his way in certain things, and just being incredibly resistant, throwing temper tantrums, and being an incredible challenge for somebody who's wanting to be spacious and compassionate and understanding, and just finding that no matter how much patience and kindness and compassion he could muster, that it wasn't working, and the challenges were still there, and the incredible frustration and a sense of stress and helplessness that arises in that kind of a situation. Incredible. And I was relating to him how, shouldn't be too hard on himself, too judgmental for not being able to be the perfect father in terms of, always maintaining that absolute and pure sense of gentleness and compassion and kindness in his mind, because these are really, really difficult circumstances, and reactions, old habits will naturally arise. Remembering to him, I was telling him, I was remembering a friend of mine who, a woman that I worked with, she was the director of the center that I worked at, just an incredibly patient, understanding, kind, really together person, and one of the best leaders I've ever seen, just in terms of not only her capacity to be with people in a real clear, caring way, but also just a real sense of clarity and even-mindedness, equanimity with employees and the whole job scene. Just a really exemplary leader. And she was also, at the time of my recollection of the story anyway, she decided to have a family and had her first child, a boy. I just remember her going through so many challenging times, even with her set of skills. I remember there was one time when, her son was growing up and probably in his terrible twos or somewhere around there, and was just presenting huge challenges to her, with his resistance and his temper tantrums and things like that. And she said, I haven't really told many people this, and it's something I am loath to confess. She said, but the amount of rage and anger that I feel at this poor, helpless little child is just overwhelming. She said, I've never felt like this before. But she says, there's times when of course I wouldn't ever think of doing it or acting on it, but I just want to strangle him. I want to kill him, And she said, it's like this amount of energy and intensity and aversion that arises in my mind, I just never knew was in there. It's just like this animal instinct that comes up. And she says, I had no idea that I had the capacity to feel these kinds of feelings. So if somebody, like that can experience this, well, then none of us should be surprised when similar things come up on our mind in equally challenging circumstances. Of course, we have to exercise our restraint. This is where, putting a plug in things is useful, and developing skillful strategies to deal with them, to get through these moments. I also had, in that same job situation I was working there, it was a day center where a number of clients with different kinds of backgrounds would come for different treatments and help support, a daytime program, caregiver relief, things like that. So we had a lot of older people with physical and mental disabilities, and some younger people also with mental health problems, chronic mental health problems, a wide variety of people. But one of the participants that was in my caseload was an older woman who had a number of behavioral issues. Basically, she was incredibly anxious. She had a very strong anxiety disorder. But she also had this, what turned out over time to be what's called, it's a syndrome actually, called Munchausen syndrome, where people actually inflict physical damage onto themselves to gain attention, to get care from the healthcare system, just by making themselves sick. She was a diabetic, and she'd do things like purposely, you know, give herself too much or too little insulin to make her blood sugar go haywire. She even, at some point, was able to inflict some sort of damage into her digestive system to the point where she actually required to have a colostomy. That was quite unfortunate, quite sad. But she was also just, I mean, sometimes she was a delight to be with, and she could be a real treat to spend time with, and other times she was just maddeningly challenging to me personally. And she went kind of through one of these periods of attention seeking where she would threaten, well, she actually would call 911. She'd work herself into some sort of state of physical distress, usually, you know, complaining of heart pains, because she knew that that's what would get 911 out to see her. So she'd work herself into this state, get panicky, anxious, call 911. They'd come out, check her out, she'd be okay, and she'd get her attention, and she'd relax, and she'd be fine. And so this started happening as a repetitive kind of thing, and they asked us to help intervene to prevent this from happening. So it was my task to come up with some sort of strategy to try and stop her from calling 911. And she happened to live in the apartment building that we had our center in, so she'd come down in the mornings and then go back up to her apartment in the afternoons. And after one particularly difficult day, she was in quite a difficult state that day. She went back up to her apartment and, I guess, started to get panicky and anxious. And the plan was is that she would call me before she would call 911. So she called me and was saying, "I'm going to call 911. I've got to do it. I can't stand it anymore." And so I went up to her apartment, and she was just beside herself, and I couldn't reassure her, you know, give her all the attention I could. It just was not going anywhere. And, you know, checking her blood pressure, checking her heart, reassuring her that everything was okay. She was bound and determined, to call 911. And I could feel my blood pressure, my own blood pressure rising. And, just this kind of sense of, it was the end of the day, of course. It had been a challenging day to begin with. And I was trying to get my paperwork and phone calls done, and I had to go up and attend to this, and she wasn't listening to what I was saying, and I could feel this rage starting to rise up in my system. And, you know, it was all I could do to restrain myself, really. It was just incredible, the sense of irritation and aversion, because it was, you know, clearly something that was all psychologically induced. And, you know, basically she was saying, "Well, if you won't call 911 now, when you leave and you go back downstairs, I'm going to call them." And that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for me. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to call 911, you know, even though it doesn't need to be done, because if I don't call them, I'm going to damage this person. So it wasn't calling 911 for her. I was calling 911 to prevent me from doing something I shouldn't do. So we did, and they came, and you could just see the tension start to drain out of her while they were attending to her. And of course, you know, nothing was wrong, and they left, and that was the end of that. But, you know, it's just amazing, you know, the kinds of tendencies and old habits that can come up when we're pressed to the limit. The old ways of trying to cope, or the old reactions, can't be prevented sometimes from coming up. Or we're chained, you know, maybe sometimes we're challenged with, real difficult personal circumstances, challenges to our own well-being. you know, sometimes like we're, it feels like we're being tested beyond our limits, whether it's health issues or other challenges, personal challenges, relationship challenges, these kinds of issues that come up for us that push our buttons or cause us to fall into states of despair or anguish or difficulty or anxiety or fear. The old perceptions are triggered, the old ways of responding are triggered, and we can kind of find ourselves moving into almost what feels like uncontrollable mental states that are very pressing, challenging, and can cause anxiety, despair. So all of these kinds of situations, we have to develop coping strategies so that we don't act on them. And we can't prevent them from happening sometimes, but we can pull up strategies so that we don't reinforce them, act on them. And those are where these, I think these three qualities, again, are so important. The development of energy, development of determination, resolution, and of widespread, wide, overarching sense of patience, endurance. It's actually almost sometimes it's like kind of a physical state that you have to induce in yourself. It's realizing that the capacity for inappropriate or a response that's not going to be very skillful, recognizing that that's arising in one's mind, and that the strength, the impulse to react as one normally would is moving up in the consciousness. And it doesn't even have to be, you know, negative situations. It can be, you know, situations of strong desire, the attention moving outwards to pick up a very strong, compulsive way of sensual satisfaction, say, for instance, rising up very strong. But to recognize that energy that's arising, and to be able, and if the normal strategies don't work, if the intensity is so strong, then the counter movement has to be equally as strong. And this is where you have to raise up that sense of, hey, I remember how I've reacted to this in the past, and the results haven't been very pretty. Really bringing that up into consciousness and essentially having to just firmly determine, you know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to react in the same way. I, you know, am going to do everything I can because I know that if I, you know, just allow myself to react in the same old habitual patterns, that it's just going to reinforce this whole pattern. So I'm going to, you know, firmly resolve, bring up a determination, bring up the energy to set a boundary, not to reinforce, react, cause harm to myself or to anybody else. This is more important than allowing myself to go down that same old track of a stimulus response. And in addition to the energy and determination, the development of that sense of wide, overarching patience to contain it all within, you know, with a sense of forgiveness as one sometimes gets things wrong or you can't quite meet the challenge like you wanted to, but just that capacity to hold the situation with much more clarity than one has habitually been accustomed to. So it takes a certain, this practice, in addition to the calming and settling, the development of very positive, gentle states of mind, loving kindness, compassion. These are all parts of the path that we talk about a lot and are fundamental in the path of practice. But also the development of these more energizing, more active states of mind, qualities of mind that one has to pull into practice as well. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of energy, a lot of determination to just keep on going in this life as a Buddhist monastic or as a serious lay practitioner. The tendencies to pull us away from it are very, very strong. It's really a very strong flow that we have to constantly push against the stream. But it's also one that as you do it, the more you do it, just like in exercising the body, it's difficult at first, but the strength gradually develops. And the capacity to hold these challenging mind states or physical states of being grows until it becomes a strong muscle that is there to help hold one in these challenging times. And it doesn't have to be quite so consciously pulled up as the strength of habit of skillful, strong mind states will develop. It becomes a bit more of an automatic response. But one that needs to be attended to, and particularly put some energy into developing in the early stages of one's practice. Ajahn Sumedho, he would tell a story of just some challenging times in his early years, where various internal, external challenges would come to him, and they'd be so strong, and he'd find himself saying, you know, I can't bear it. I can't do it any longer. I can't possibly bear this. And then he'd notice his mind saying that, and he'd listen to that, and then he'd reflect and see the situation that he was in, and he'd realize, well, that's not true. I am bearing it. I'm able to deal with this. I'm dealing with it right now. It's just this crazy mind that's going through its reactions and kind of spewing out this nonsense of trying to say I can't do it. But here I am. I am doing it. So I think that was a turning point for him, where he learned to realize that these thoughts that come up, these opinions that the mind will put out, can't always be trusted, that we do have the capacity to get through some really difficult moments and to learn from them, to grow from them, and to expand our capacities. So I think maybe I'll just leave it there for this evening, a short reflection, and leave that for people to contemplate tonight.